Hopefully everybody picked up a lesson sheet in the foyer as you came in tonight. As you can tell, it's not all one page. That's why it's not on the back of the one this morning. And a part of the reason, sometimes they're a little bit longer because I just couldn't quite figure out what to cut out and what not to cut out. And sometimes, like tonight, it's because we're going to an area of study that most of us are really not that familiar with. And I thought it'd be good to be able to keep this, and if you have a file, place someplace that you keep lesson outlines, whatever, that you could do that with this lesson here. Because what we're going to talk about is a subject that don't hear talked about very often, and that's fasting. And we're going to talk about primarily the idea of the Old Testament. But fasting is one of those things that really, to our society, is pretty foreign. That food is such a regular part of our lives. I dare say about everybody here this morning had breakfast, then you went and had dinner or lunch, whatever you want to call it after that, and then maybe you stopped and had something before we came here, or maybe you don't have something after you leave here this evening. And I don't think many of us have missed a meal here because of kind of religious observance as far as fasting is concerned. And in fact, it's such part of our society that we often associate it with events that, again, without thinking about it really. We just got through with Thanksgiving. And again, I dare say most of us had turkey or dressing and had some kind of big meal because that's what you do with Thanksgiving, right? Was together, my family, one of the last things we talked about was Christmas. And with my family, the Christmas meal is breakfast. That's what we talk about. So we don't have to have this big breakfast that we're doing. It's not going to be at 9 o'clock in the morning, like 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. But, you know, we have certain foods that we all know that is the Christmas breakfast food that we have. But then also other events we relate to food. Valentine's Day, there's automatically, you think of certain candies associated there, or Easter. Or if I would say 4th of July. That we think about hot dogs and hamburgers and watermelon. And my point is simply the fact that we often associate food with events. But when you start with the Bible, you'll find this word fasting. And people will ask questions about it, such as, what exactly was that? I mean, what does that really mean, their fasting? And, is it something commanded, something that we need to be doing today, to be fasting today? And basically is, what reasons? Were they fasting? All those kind of questions come up, so I thought it'd be good for us really to deal with this here and kind of answering those questions. I really kind of think about this lesson more like a Bible class lesson than really a sermon, a normal sermon, and I realize sometimes the lines between the two are kind of pretty blurred. But first of all, fasting, as we look at it, often we think about abstaining from food to drink. I mean for food, but not water. And so some people may identify this. So that mean that somebody says, well, I'm fasting, and that means obviously they're not stopping by at McDonald's to get a Big Mac, or not going to Pizza Hut, and they're not having a regular meal, steak and potatoes, those kind of things there. And basically you could drink water, perhaps some other liquids along with that. And also the body can last a good while on that kind of a fast, that we can survive for I don't know how long, probably Blake could tell me, or give me an idea as far as how long can the body survive without any water or without any liquids at all. And I don't know, it'd be something like, you know, I dare say it probably wouldn't be very long. However, how long can we survive without food? Well, you know, someone's going to survive quite a while without it. And so that'd be a case of way to do that. You survive that way. Other times you may find what I would call partial fast. And that is a restricted diet, and not total abstinence from food, but certain things that you're not going to have. For instance, Daniel 10th chapter verse 2, it says, those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 or 4 weeks. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came to my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all until 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Now, notice here that he kind of mentions what he was abstaining from, but there's other foods that he had during this time period. And so this here was aiming particularly at those things, what kind of stands out to me is the idea of no pleasant food, and no meat or wine, was what he was abstaining from at that time. So, and we may think of other people, for instance, John the Immerser. And when we read about him and we think about Samson, well, there are two examples of people that were eating, but it was a restricted diet. For instance, Samson over in Judges 13 and verse 4, and then you go down to verse 7, there he could put together, said, drink no wine or similar drinks, nor eat anything unclean. Now the last part of that really should apply to any Jew anyway. They were never to eat anything unclean, but in particular here, no wine or similar drinks was, and he was not to have those things. Most Jews could do that, to have those things. And then John the Baptist, they read about his diet in Matthew 3 verse 4, it says, food was locusts and wild honey. Now most of us, if that was going to be our diet, we'd try to figure out how to cook that while, you know, those locusts make them a little bit more appealing. But now, honestly, this was a rare diet, so not normally practiced by people at that time. And then on rare occasions, you actually find an absolute fast, where they would have not have any food or any liquids at all. And read about that on rare occasions. For instance, the people of Nineveh. When Jonah goes there and preaches to the people of Nineveh and tells them 40 days God's going to destroy this place here. If you go there to Jonah, the third chapter, verse 5, and start reading there with me. It says, the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Then the word came to the king of Nineveh. He rose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused to be proclaimed and published on Nineveh by the decree of the king and his noble saying, let neither man nor beast, neither animals nor herd nor flock taste anything, do not let them eat or drink water. But let man and beast be carried sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish. And then verse 10 said that God saw the works they turned from the evil way, and God relented from the disaster he said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. But you read through there and realize, okay, the decree of the king was basically nothing at all. Even the animals were not to have any food. And you may think, well, that's kind of strange, isn't it? Even the animals, they have to be destroyed along with the people, by the way. And I'm not saying that, you know, they're simply showing the extent of the degree of the fast. Not even the animals were allowed to eat. We need to read about Esther. And the decree had been proclaimed that the Jews were to be destroyed by Haman, to have the king make this decree. And Mordecai goes to her and basically petitions Esther to go to the king and talk to him about this. And here's Esther's response. It says, fast me neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. And so that was, again, an absolute fast during that time period, neither eating nor drinking. Now again, you see here, and we'll talk about the length here a little bit more, but we also find there are times that we read about fasting where divine intervention had to play a part. That it's not possible for somebody to live without food or water for that length of time. And one of those, for instance, is Moses. You go read about him, he goes to Mount Sinai, goes up there, and Deuteronomy 9th chapter and verse 9. And there it says to us that basically it says, when I went up to the mountain to receive the tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant which the Lord made with you, then I stayed on the mountain 40 days, 40 nights. I neither ate bread nor drank water, period. And so it's a case where the only way he could survive is that God had intervened here and allowed him to survive that away. And he's not the first one that we read about lasting that long without food or water. The other occasion is Elijah. And Elijah, we read about him over in 1 Kings 19, verse 7 and 8. It said, the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. So he rose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days, 40 nights, as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. Now, obviously, in that passage there, it says, because he had that food, then he was allowed, or he was able to survive for 40 days during that time period because of the food that had been given by the angel of God. And so we have here, okay, so first of all, there are some feasts that were partial feasts, that they would drink water. There are some feasts that was really a restricted diet, what we think of. And there are some feasts, look at it, that was so extensive that, again, only by divine intervention could anybody survive that way. And so this gets to the second point, and that is, okay, the length of the feast. And as we look at it, there's various lengths talked about again in the Bible in the Old Testament. What we're focusing on tonight, over in Judges 20, chapter 26. And this, the context of this passage is very important. And this deal with the tribe of Benjamin, whenever you had the case of the story about the Levite and his concubine, and the people of, he goes to the city of Benjamin, and basically they want to have relations with him, and the man he's staying with offers basically his daughters, and it winds up that the concubine is killed, and the children of Israel, when they hear about this, they come up there to attack Benjamin, tribe Benjamin. And when they do that, they lose a bunch of people. Tribe Benjamin defeats them. Well, in that case there, in Judges 20, verse 26, it says, then all the children of Israel, that is, all the people went up and came to the house of God and wept. They sat there before the Lord and fasted that day until evening, and they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings for the Lord. And so here's a fast that was for a specific time period, a length of time of that day. No more food that day. That's how long that fast there would last. When you go and you find about the case of Bob here, sunrise, sunset. And may be what we would think of perhaps as a day. According to Jewish time, how they kept time, that would include that. And then we have a case of basically Jonathan and Saul when they died. And David's response to their death. In 2 Samuel, the first chapter, verse 12, says they mourned and wept and fasted until evening for Saul and for Jonathan's son, for the people of the Lord and for the house of Israel, because they had fallen by the sword. Now again, a length of time that's pretty limited here, really, when you stop thinking about it, and that is until evening for Saul. And so that was that length of time there. And we also have a case when Abner is killed. And Abner, again, the context of this is that Joab winds up, his brother is killed, Asahel is killed by Abner. And if you go back to about a couple of chapters earlier here in 2 Samuel, and it's a case where Abner goes to the city of refuge, stays there, and Joab basically says, come out here, I want to talk to you. And so Joab, or Abner leaves the city of refuge, comes out to Joab, and Joab takes the spear and kills Abner with it. Upon hearing that, those words, they're about finding out that Abner had been killed. And here is David's response. And then he says, God, do so to me and more also, if it takes bread or anything else until the sun goes down. Now he's not going to eat anything until that rest that day. That's what David proclaimed that day. And then as we go on, we find another occasion fast being mentioned is the Daniel 6 chapter. Again, context here is important because Daniel, by this time, the Medo-Persian Empire is now controlling this area. And Daniel's praying to his God, and basically some of the enemies of Daniel said, we know how to get Daniel in a trap here. And that's, we'll have the king proclaim that you cannot pray to any other god except for the king for a length of time. And Daniel prays to his God, and find out that bring Daniel before the king, and because the king had made a decree that it'll be punished, that anybody does that, be punished by death, and it was a decree that could not be changed. And so the king was bound to do something with Daniel, throws him to a lion's den, and here's what he does. In Daniel 6, verse 18, says that the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. And no musicians were brought before him, and sleep went from him. So here's somebody who wasn't even an Israelite fasting during this time period. And so we have all those length of times talked about. And again, we already mentioned that Esther said, no, he didn't drink for 3 days. I want everybody praying to God for 3 days for me, and therefore that's the length of time of that fast. And then also we find 7 days mentioned. And my point here is you look and you see that there's a different length of time for each one of these. In 1 Samuel 31st chapter, verse 13, at the death of burial of Saul and Jonathan. And when the men of Jabesh Gilead went to get the bodies of these two men, it's talked about them primarily. And there it says, they took the bones and buried them under the tamarisk tree at Jabesh and fasted 7 days. So here's the 7 day fast that we read about. And I already mentioned earlier the length of fast dealt with Moses. And we read about that again in Exodus 34, verse 28. So there was the Lord 40 days, 40 nights, and he neither ate bread nor drank water. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. And then Elijah, we already mentioned that, he also was 40 days. And so that's the length of the fast. Now, the other question comes, another question comes up is, okay, why? Why were the people fasting? And is it commanded, basically, as we look at in the Old Covenant, Old Testament? And one is that the command, there's only one time really you could read about fasting actually commanded. And that deals with the Law of Moses and the Day of Atonement. Over in Leviticus 16, I'm sorry. You're probably thinking, why am I swiping? Why am I doing that? And I'm showing you what's up there. Okay. This here, hopefully this makes it easier on you. Should I start again? No, I don't. Okay. No. All right. Don't blame you. Leviticus 16, verse 29. This will be a statute prayer for you. In the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall afflict your souls. Now notice there, it doesn't actually use the word fast. But the references, and scholars believe really that's what the reference is to here, over in Jeremiah 36, verse 6. And so you go, therefore, and read from the scroll which you have written at my instruction, the words of the Lord, and hearing the people in the house on the day of fasting, and shall also read them in hearing all Judah come from their cities. And that's reference again to the Day of Atonement in the fasting. And in the New Testament, we have one reference to this, and that is in Acts 27, verse 9. And there it talks about the days of fasting were over with. And again, that refers to the Day of Atonement. And so that's the only time really in the Old Testament where you find that it is commanded or talked about in that way. Now, there's other times they fasted, obviously. And we can relate to this in a sense of the one time was time of war. And I recited here in Judges 20, chapter verse 26 on, and that is the children of Israel are going to go up against tribe Benjamin. They had already done that once. They have lost a bunch of people. And they go to God this time and ask him what to do. And so in reference to that, they are fasting before they go and attack Benjamin again. We can kind of relate to that in times of national calamity or war, that often we are more conscious of God and petition him for success in our endeavors. Okay, another time is when sickness or death. And that is, we find, as I mentioned before, that David fasted for his son. You go over in 2 Samuel 12th chapter, that when the child that was conceived by Bathsheba grows sick, what does David do? Oh, David doesn't eat or drink. He doesn't take care of himself during that time period. And we can relate to this a lot of times when people are either they're sick themselves or they have a loved one that we realize the sickness is one that's going to end in death or it looks like that way, that we have to encourage people to eat during that time period. And so that's the case there with David. And then, like I said before, David fasted for Saul and Jonathan, the death of the king of Israel and his son. David fasted there, a friendship, basically, when a friend had died in the case of Jonathan. And so they have fasting because of that. And then also, seeking God's forgiveness. There are times we look at it and realize that it's kind of connect the idea of repentance with fasting involved there. And with Moses, that Moses fasted 40 days, not just on Mount Sinai, but actually in Deuteronomy, the ninth chapter, when it's recounting to the children of Israel, the second telling of the law, and you read there, you find, let me just back up here, I didn't put on the chart here, but if you look over in Deuteronomy in the ninth chapter, verse 15, and in Deuteronomy ninth chapter, verse 15, it says, so a current came down from the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire, and the two tablets of stone were in my two hands. And it goes ahead and talks about the fact that he looks there, and what he sees is that basically what that they made a golden calf. And then verse 17, they take the tablets, broke them before your eyes. And verse 18 says, and I fell down before the Lord as at the first 40 days, 40 nights, I neither ate bread nor drank water because of all your sin which you committed and doing which is wickedly in the sight of the Lord to proclaim, broke him to anger. And so this is the second event. second time, but because of them making the golden calf, then he goes out and is connected with the sins of Israel. And so that, for that reason there. And then also Ahab asked to be forgiven. When he had Naboth, actually Jezebel had Naboth killed, but he was part of the whole scheme or part of the reasoning here, that when told that because he had killed Naboth that way, that he would die. And it speaks about the kind of death he would die and the kind of death Jezebel died. And Ahab's response in that occasion was he went and started fasting before God. And so, and then if the, again, fast of the preaching of Jonah, all this here is connected with the idea of them fasting because of repentance, connected with some kind of repentance involved here. And Daniel fasted and confessed sins of Israel. If you go over to Daniel 9th chapter, and I know, like I said, I give you a lot of references here for you to look up on your own and read on your own. But you go to Daniel 9th chapter, you have this long prayer where he acknowledges what they had done against God, and he's fasting. And it talks about the fasting there as it talks about the sins of Israel. And the remnant fasted as they heard the word of God over in Nehemiah, the 9th chapter. That whenever they opened the book of the law of God and started reading about what Israel had done, and they realized they had sinned against God, they fasted there when they heard the word of God. And then also in times of distress. If you look over in Nehemiah the first chapter 4, and Nehemiah's cupbearer, word comes back to Nehemiah what's going on in Jerusalem. And the word is basically not anything good, that nobody's doing anything. And so Nehemiah 1 verse 4 says, so it was when I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying for the God of heaven. And so there was the time of distress right there with him. And I already mentioned here Esther. Whenever she was told about the decree that had been sent out to have the Jews killed and that Mordecai wanted her to go before the Lord or before the king on behalf of his people, that she requested them to fast for her. And so that's some of the reasons why people fasted. Now, the purpose of fasting. Okay, we have reasons they did, but what's the purpose of fasting? Now, again, some of it was a natural reaction. They didn't have to be told to fast. Much like today, whenever, you know, when somebody has a loved one to die, we often have to encourage people to eat. We have to remind them, you got to keep up your health, you got to keep up your strength, and you need to eat something. And so, you know, in this case here, that David stopped fasting whenever his child died. He was fasting while his child was alive, but once his child died and there wasn't anything else he could do about it, then he started eating again. And so we may relate that, and because at times we may quit eating because we're really stressed out. There's something bad happening, we just can't think about eating. There's times it's talked about as afflicting the soul. Over in Psalm 69 verse 10, when I wept and chastened my soul with fasting. Notice there wasn't an idea of trying to necessarily lose weight. It was a case of trying to make your body suffer, but the idea was more spiritual in nature than that. And so here's the case of trying to get his mind and soul in tune more with God's will, basically what he's talking about here. And so there's a case of disciplining our soul, to humble the soul. It's also mentioned to us. For that reason, over in Psalms 35 verse 13. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth, I humbled myself with fasting and my prayer will return to my own heart. And so again, it may be kind of hard for us to relate some of these ideas of, well, how did we humble ourselves with fasting? Maybe it was more in tune of realizing how much we need God, about the, not taking for granted what God's provided for us, of realizing we are dependent on God for even our daily nutrients. And so we humble ourselves for God as we fast, as they talked about in that passage. And then also to ask for God's favor. The somebody said to God, we need your help. If you read through these passages then, and we thought about, okay, we had the kind of fasting was dependent on the situation, sometimes total fast, sometimes partial fast, the length of days differ, and the reason differ a lot of times, but basically there are times for forgiveness of sins. That they're mentioning that in these passages, there are times because we want loved ones to be healed. And when our loved ones are sick, what we do? We go to God in prayer. And so they did that on their behalf also in the Old Testament. Protection of danger. We want God to watch after us and help us, what the children of Israel are doing, outdoors, once enemies. We want God to intervene and help us in these kind of situations that we may find ourselves in, that we want, need His help. And this gets the last part here, okay, the warnings. The warnings in the Bible, the Old Testament, about their fasting, because, and Jesus gives a warning about fasting in the Sermon on the Mount that we studied just a few weeks ago. And the warnings basically in the Old Testament is that fasting can be an external show. And it can be something you're doing, and ritualism is easy. I always go about this fact. It's easy to do some kind of ritualistic thing. It's harder to actually humble yourself, to actually seek to do what God's will. And so the children of Israel warn about this in Isaiah 58 chapter. In Isaiah 58 chapter, they started complaining to God because they were doing these things. They were fasting. And Isaiah 58 verse 3, it says, "Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls, you take no notice?" In other words, God, we fast before you, we humbly bow before you, we do this thing, and you're not listening to us. You're not doing anything for us. And what God says to them is, you look at the rest of the verse 3 there, that's the first part of verse 3, and basically what He says is that you're not fasting for right reason. You're not doing this in order to get near to me at all. What you're doing is, He says, if you want to please me, now let's just turn to Isaiah 53 for a second. Because in verse 53, He spells out the promise of fast and what He wanted. And verse 53, first of all, in verse 6, He says, Isaiah 58. And verse 3. And there He says, "Why have you fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls, and you have not, and you take no notice?" Now you notice my Bible translation, there's a space between that and the rest of verse 3 here. And that's because here's what God's answer is, says, "In fact, in the day of your fast you find pleasure and exploit all your labors." And so what He's saying is, first of all, as you do this here, that you're not actually seeking me. What you're doing is, He said, He kind of lists the things they were involved in, exploring layers. Verse 4, "Do you fast for strife and debate, and to strike with the fist of wickedness? You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high." And it goes on, He lists some other things. Verse 5, "Is a fast I have chosen a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast and acceptable day to the Lord?" And what He's pointing out again, that all these things are doing, but ceremonial is all that we're doing here. And so He said, again, verse 6, "Is this not the fast I have chosen?" And the answer is no. God had not told them to do this. He said, "Here's what I want. Here's the kind of fast I want." And really, the fast He wants has really nothing to do with food. He said, "What I want is, I want you to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens. That's what I want you to do." And also He says, "To let the oppressed go free, and that you will break every yoke." In other words, I want you to quit afflicting your people. If you want to please me in your fast, here's the kind of fast you need to have. And verse 7 is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? Think about the underprivileged. Think about the poor people among you and how you're treating them or how you're not treating them. And He goes on and says, "When you see the naked, and that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh." And so these were sins that they were committing. God says, "Here's the kind of fast I want, not just the kind of fast you're doing." And the point of this is that fasting was not a substitute for obedience. And it's easy, again, to substitute obedience with ritualism and think, because I'm doing this, then God automatically is going to be happy with me, or I keep on doing these sins, and God's not going to really punish me because of those things. And the book of Zechariah is very similar. And that is, as you read through Zechariah in verse 7, chapter verse 3, he said that people want to know if they should continue to fast. That's the question they have. And then Zechariah 7 and verse 3. Let me just get back over here and read that. "And that, should I weep in the fifth month and fast as I've done for so many years? Should I continue on to do that?" And God again says, here's the problem is, the purpose is wrong. Starting in verse 4, Then the word of the war of hosts came to me saying, say to all the people of the land and to the priests, when you fast and mourn in the fifth and seventh months during these 70 years, do you not really fast for me? For me? Were you really fast for me? Is that what you thought? When you eat and when you drink, do you not eat and drink for yourselves? So you not have obeyed the words of the Lord proclaimed throughout the former prophets when Jerusalem and the cities around it were inhabited and prosperous, and the south and the lowland were inhabited. And so I said, you need to have been obeying me instead of just fasting. It was a response to them. And so he tells them, your fast has no value at all. I don't see it. I don't recognize it as far as what I want from you. And so again, the point being is that fasting was not commanded. It was individual in nature. Not commanded, excuse me. Instead for me with the Day of Atonement. But it's individual in nature. Was dealing with sin. But God is saying to them, you can fast all you want, but until you obey me, it's not going to do any good. One last side note is that we have one fast proclaimed by King Saul. And this deals with Saul when Jonathan and his armor bearer goes up against the opposing army and basically starts battle without King Saul's permission. And once the battle begins, King Saul was having it, he proclaims that day that none of his men should eat or drink until their enemies have been defeated. As it turns out, Jonathan, when he hears this, says about his dad has done foolishly. Because if they had just left it alone, they would have had a great victory. And so these are things here as we talked about. So fasting, again, is a biblical subject. The Bible talks about it. They have various forms and lengths of time that they fasted. Sometimes individually. Sometimes a city did it. Sometimes the whole nation was doing it on the Day of Atonement. But it's simply, more than simply not eating. And that is to please God. It's aimed to please God, not aimed at impressing other people, and not aimed at proclaiming how holy we are, but instead of looking at God during that time period, and to show that we're relying on God. So that's the Old Testament as we look at fasting. And my hope is that either next week or week after to actually talk about it from the New Testament perspective. But I appreciate so much of your kind attention tonight. And we have a song now selected. As we study the Bible, we should always have a desire to find out how we can serve God better. And we ever find out we're not doing something the Bible teaches, we need to change our practice so as to be more in harmony with God's Word. As we have the song of encouragement, yes, one for those who are not Christians, but also for us Christians to think about our stand for God. And if a prayer, you need our prayers for any reason, we're here to do that, but also a time, but maybe that if you simply need to pray to God about something in your life, to do that also. If we engage in any way, won't you let us know as you stand as we sing.